Teachers have crucial jobs, but are they robot-proof? From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. This week, the Trump administration is weighing whether to label China a currency manipulator, as promised during the campaign. It's part of a broader push to tackle what President Trump sees as unfair play when it comes to trade. But some labor economists argue it's not just trade that we need to pay attention to, it's also tech. Our David Brancaccio is driving across the Midwest this week in search of robot-proof jobs, ones that stand a decent chance in the competition with machines and software increasingly moving into the workforce. He's been to Pennsylvania and Ohio already. Today, Michigan.
This music is how a 21st century school eases students from one class to the next. No jarring bell or buzzer at Madison High School in the town of Adrian, Michigan. Angela Todora thinks she's a pretty robot-proof English teacher.
That fear is not something that I worry about because there are certain things that we do in the classroom that cannot be replaced by a machine.
Robots, schmobots.
There's so much more that goes into it than just being able to have a student load a learning management system and answering questions or going through activities in that regard.
Data we're using from the McKinsey Global Institute's automation study finds that just 20% of a secondary school teacher's job is robotizable, as it were. It's similarly low for those who teach the younger grades. While some school districts hand down curriculum, work at the front of the class is very seldom from a script or recited rote in the way a machine would like it. A teacher needs wells of empathy and a knack for detecting when material is or is not connecting. Ms. Todora found a sci-fi novel her seniors love reading called Ready Player One, in which the Earth's such a mess that kids can't go out and they attend virtual school using 3D goggles. This makes you think of those MOOCs, the massive online courses which universities are pushing. That could work for some super motivated students in high school.
But the thing is, day to day, as a teacher, you need to be physically present to see if everything's okay.
Absolutely. By having those role models in their lives, that's extremely important as well.
Not soon, but deep into the future, who knows? As immersive learning technology evolves, one expert spoke of teachers becoming more like exam proctors or hall monitors.
We just had some professional development here at school that talked about the jobs that kids at our elementary school level right now, the jobs that we're preparing them for, haven't even been created yet. And really, that's a hurdle that we need to figure out how to get over, because how do you prepare them for the unknown? And it's that problem-solving skills. It's them being able to solve whatever's put in front of them.
The jobs we're preparing them for haven't even been created yet, she just said. Think of that. Lenawee County, here in Michigan, pulls the vocational kids and the college-bound math and science kids from 9 high schools into a single tech campus for half the day. Here's where I found some students setting themselves up to be, I have to say, pretty robot-proof.
Well, I'm planning on going into the entertainment business.
There's Caleb, who might be a future Ryan Seacrest, producer, but also on camera.
I love talking, and I'm definitely not afraid of a camera or a microphone, that is.
Followed by Emma, who's interested in something with just a 21% automation potential.
I want to be a pediatric nurse practitioner.
And this guy Mitchell, who wants to cross swords with evil hackers.
I'm going to be going into cybersecurity and network penetration testing.
I'm not even going to look that up in the robot-proof jobs database. If Mitchell gets good at thwarting cyber criminals, I personally guarantee he'll have as much work as he ever wants to do in perpetuity. Tomorrow, this road trip goes to Illinois for a healthcare job that frustrates machines. From the road, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And you can hear more of David's coverage from the road, plus take a quiz about workforce automation at marketplace.org/robotproof. Now, let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei is down about 195 points. That's a bit over 1%. In Europe, the FTSE in London is up about 0.1%. And the German DAX is up 18 points, about 0.1% as well. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are looking down ahead of the U.S. market open. President Trump is officially ending the freeze on federal hiring with a caveat. In a memo set to be released this morning, the Trump administration will instruct federal agencies to develop plans that minimize employment with, quote, surgical cuts to staff. Marketplace's Andy Euler is following the story. And Andy, what is this memo requesting?
Well, Kimberly, the line reducing the federal workforce is actually in the title of the memo, so it seems like that's going to be a major piece. Budget Director Mick Mulvaney said he couldn't give specific details or figures on job cuts, but he said efficiency is the name of the game. Now, it's interesting because that's the kind of language you tend to hear when for-profit companies acquire other companies, right? There's always talk of synergy and cost cuts, so it seems like President Trump is trying to bring those same principles to running the federal government, which seems easier said than done. After all, the government isn't a business. And it should be noted also that this isn't the first time a new president has called for government efficiency. The Obama administration sent proposals to Congress in 2012 and 2015, and those suggested consolidating some departments. There were also hiring freezes under Presidents Reagan and Carter. Now, Mulvaney also said he hadn't studied those other reform efforts, but he promised this administration's restructuring goes much deeper and accounts to essentially restructuring Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Andy. And the World Trade Organization is out with updated numbers this morning, with expectations global trade will expand by 2.4% this year, although global political uncertainty could undermine that. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.